This episode of We Are Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeAreLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today.
Yeah.
Yo, 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 yo. Welcome to This Week, and we are Lizzie Terribans. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. Chris Spangle. Over there is my main man, Greg Lenz. Greg, how you doing, dog?
Doing well, brother. How you doing?
Oh, I'm feeling so black. All right. And then right over there, we got Chris Peppers.
People call me P-Murder.
And there he is. My main man, Harry Price. Give it to me.
Pound
it, dog.
Pound it, dog. Pound it, bro.
No.
Oh. Did we trigger you? I'm sorry.
No.
Okay, all right. This is Dear Leader. I have switched teams. I have gone transracial. I'm here to make my official announcement. I have decided to become a full-fledged black man.
It's working
bruised up. Hold on.
From the pistol whipping, webs on the neck from the necklace stripping. Then I'm dipping up the block and I'm robbing bitches too. Up the herring bones and bamboos. I wouldn't give a
So Harry, my brother, my homie. Shit is real. I'm happy to be on your team now.
Is that what it is?
Does the black team accept me?
Well,
now that I'm transracial.
Let's see. I have to look to see what we picked up at the draft for you when we picked you up.
You get peppers. You're losing peppers.
It's P-Murder.
You're losing P-Murder, and they're getting Chris Peppers. All right, well, this highly offensive introduction failed miserably. Did it?
I think it came off okay.
Okay, all
you
right.
You should have left that conversation about us discussing what we should do.
I recorded it. I could use that instead, yeah. Maybe I'll throw that at the end as an Easter egg like I used to. I don't know. Greg made a meme this week where I was officially announcing that I was black, and then there is Harry in the corner staring at me disapprovingly. I thought we'd run with it on the podcast. I felt like that would be a good idea to bring races together.
Who is society to tell you that you're not black, Chris?
That's right. But we have a plan B to bring the races together.
But
Hold on. We got a plan B.
Hold on.
All right.
But if you're coming as black, you probably won't be able to stay in this apartment too much longer.
Why?
They're probably going to need you to move to the east side of Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I do drive a Chrysler 200. That should give me...
No, they're going to switch that out to either like a Dodge Magnum, either a Charger, or a Brougham.
I almost bought a Dodge Dart.
Well, you have to get one from like some buy here, pay here lot, because your credit's going to be really shut.
Oh, I do have bad credit. That's legit.
Oh, cool.
I have black man credit. I should probably edit that out. I'm not officially a black man yet. Harry has not accepted me.
So you got black man credit. You have black man time because you're always late.
I am always late. You're right. I specifically say to these guys, do not show up on time.
Yeah,
I will not be
time
ready.
I was here, I was on time, but Chris Spangle wasn't.
I wasn't at my own apartment waiting for you.
Yeah, he got offended at me. Like, I showed up 10 minutes early. What are you doing here?
That is offensive.
It is. It is highly offensive.
Yeah.
I was pissed that first time. So it's been a rough week. So in an effort to bring all the races together as we start this podcast, I want to do it in harmony. So I have a present for you, Harry. These are the Magnum condoms that Tyler Weiss gave me last time. I have, of course, no use for them. So I just assume you probably could.
Thank you. I usually buy them in larger packs, and they actually sell them with 5-hour energy drinks that come with them. So I usually get
them. Are you complaining about your free gift?
No. I'm not complaining about it.
Give me those back.
No.
Give me those back.
Is that a true thing
give
about
me that back
condoms
now.
And 5-hour energies? No, I give me those back.
No, never. I need these. No, I what I do send
Are you an Indian giver?
Thank you for
just getting them all this hour.
Oh, is that bad? I mean feather, not dot. Nothing wrong with dot.
Well,
it's this or sorry. Anyways, glad no one saw that.
Is my chakra straight?
Okay, all of this was pre-approved with Harry before we started. Harry.
Yeah.
Harry is our racism insurance.
Well, yeah, you're acting like we don't have insurance for all this. Everybody's so nervy and on edge. And I'm like, dude, I paid my policy. I brought pizza.
And beer. He brought beer.
Yeah.
Well, you just, the social justice warriors out there, we talked about this in the last episode. Everybody gets offended on others' behalf. Harry, what actually truly offends you? Like, in terms of racial issues. I mean, because everybody gets offended and outraged by child molestation, murder, things like that.
Mm-hmm,
even
mm-hmm.
murder sometimes. Yeah. I don't get all that offended. But, like, what could Greg and what might Greg and will probably Greg say before the end of the night that you would find offensive?
Let's see. That's actually really head scratcher because, like, it's really hard for me to really get offended at anything. Really, the one thing that really does get to me with
when the guy hosting the podcast tells you to get the door.
That's
Harry. I did not.
Harry,
snap.
I'm trying to understand why that door isn't open and there's someone outside of it.
I was treating Harry equally.
Chris gave me the night off.
I treat everyone like a servant.
But usually, like, what really offends me with race is when someone backs up their racism with bad pseudoscience.
Okay,
that what offends me.
Explain that.
I used to be a part of a podcast that one of my co-hosts used to say that black people are a certain way because of how they are. None of them will get along or work together because they're all dog-eat-dog because of the climate of Africa. And the reason why white people act togetherness is because of the cold weather of Europe, so they would get together and have to, you know, bound together because of the cold weather
everyone
in Europe.
Everyone in Europe's working together. So.
Because, oh, yeah.
And because that whole colonization thing really brought everyone together.
Yes. He literally made an argument that social cohesion is genetic.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Whoa.
I'm offended.
Europeans.
I'm offended. He's a part of my race. Yeah. Yeah. You get the hell out.
Well, let's not assume he was a white guy. Was he a white guy?
Oh, I know.
Yes,
I know.
Racist.
Yeah,
motherfucker.
And the thing is, right, he says, "I am the way I am." Obviously, one of my ancestors must have been like must have been raped by someone of European descent, and that is why I'm the way I am.
Is that literally is something he said?
Yes.
Like, is he in the Indiana legislature?
Probably.
No. Thank God, no.
Was it legitimate rape?
All right.
Drudge out all these old arguments.
Yeah.
Let's. Who yes. can, what
yeah, yeah.
what
it's
horrible
legitimate,
thing
yeah.
can we say next?
We could talk about Todd Akin, how he said that they had chaff in their uterus so it could actually put out illegitimate rape. Worked like not kidding.
Right, yeah.
He had there was a fake diagram went around the internet, and essentially it was like if it was essentially like the Iron Dome in Israel. Like if a missile or Scud missile was headed for Israel, it could make sure it went off before it actually got inserted into the middle of Bethlehem.
I'm just thinking that maybe the beginning of this podcast was a mistake.
Why?
Just
Why?
Beginning it.
Why?
We shouldn't have begun.
I just don't want people to be offended.
What?
Yeah. I knew you were always worried about that, Chris.
You know what? Here's what I don't want. I want to have, in this podcast, a dialogue about race. And I would like us to be able to say whatever we want. And maybe even a couple jokes at Greg's expense, not yours, Harry. I want you to feel very comfortable here, okay?
I just want to have that race conversation that Obama promised us, what, six, 7 years
like
ago?
It seems like it's gotten better. We had one kid this week go into a historically black church in Charleston. It was actually last night. We're recording this June 18th. And went in and killed the pastor, and it very clearly was racially motivated.
Did he kill... He killed 9 people. How many were in the...
11. He let 11. One go so that she could tell it, and then one kid pretended to be dead.
Right.
About the kid.
And that's the horrific, awful story.
That we know now, on this day.
Of course.
That came out today.
Right. So there's that aspect. Yeah, because who knows what a week from now, you know, how the media is. Everybody jumps to conclusions, so we're not trying to jump to conclusions. But by all accounts, this kid was a racist fuck.
Yes.
He had a lot of Facebook posts.
Right. He was wearing a jacket that was an apartheid jacket. He was pro-apartheid.
Yeah.
What was the name of the two countries? The
South Africa and Rhodesia.
And Rhodesia, yes. And we'll
now
get,
Zimbabwe.
Right. We'll get into all that a little bit later and kind of give you the history of that, some of that stuff. But the other story, which is almost being treated as equally as offensive, is the Rachel Doziel.
Is it not Dolezal?
Dolezal?
D-O-L-E-Z-A-L.
Yeah, Dolezal.
Listen, I literally only read it.
Yeah. Dolezal.
I find it interesting.
How about just Rachel Little D?
She is Little D. That's what we're going to call her, Little D. So I think she'd like that.
Most people like Little D.
Yeah. D.
That was your nickname, wasn't it?
Are you Spangle? Making fun? Are you making a white joke? Harry?
No, it's reverse reparations.
Oh, yeah, man.
Pay us for how badly our ancestors treated yours.
The two. Everybody is outraged and shocked and horrified by one, which is legitimate. The other one is almost getting the same level of outrage because this woman lied about her identity. It's tough to have these conversations being part of the oppressive white male class. I do not own a home. I am not a property owner. I do not have children. I'm really just... Harry, I'm oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
When is the white man gonna catch a break?
Obviously, I don't know when, but it's gonna eventually white people will rise up and overcome. I don't know when that's gonna happen, but because white people have a tough break in society, no one's really looking out for them. There's no affirmative action to help them get a job.
Right.
There's no really scholarship out there just for being white.
Exactly. It's tough to have these discussions around these sorts of issues. And as we discussed last time, it's not a matter of us offending you personally. It's us making a joke or in jest. Obviously, we're not racist. We have a black guy on the podcast.
Yeah.
We know he's our friend. Are you our friend, Harry?
Greg's friend. Greg's paid his premium this month.
Don't get involved in our relationship.
So
I told you how reparations work. You pick one
like
and you pay.
He was trying to sign his name on the card, so the gifts from both of you.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Trying to jump in on your.
We're progressive,
here.
But mm-hmm. we're not that progressive.
Okay.
So the discomfort comes in the listener to this podcast hearing it and not being offended
because
by anything.
They're a sensitive group.
Right. Not our listeners, but hearing something that is said and thinking, oh, that's offensive. Not because they're genuinely offensive. It's because, oh, somebody might be offended. Somebody else might be offended by that. The other part of it is you don't know what you can and cannot say because you never know who is listening and logging. And, you know, we had an incident where a person who was formerly associated with the podcast said the N-word on the Facebook page, and they're not associated with the podcast anymore.
Who was that?
Who do you think?
Okay.
So
I know almost no one associated with this podcast. Really.
And it just...
It was Gina.
And you just go, you know, but that's not the only reason. That's not the reason. But, you know, as Harry pointed out, it's like, you better say something because Media Matters might be out there screenshotting that, and... They can use that against you and claim that you're a racist, and you can't defend against that because this person was involved in the network.
Yep.
You know, and it's not like Harry was actually offended by it. You know, it's just
the perception what they use to make sure no one reach We Are Libertarians reaches anybody. They'll make sure, like, no, that's the racist podcast.
Exactly.
Don't listen
right.
to them.
Yeah.
They're massive racists. And if you and you know, the screenshot would look like she was literally calling me the N-word, and that's why it was like, you have to, like, I was kept saying, you have to say something.
Right.
Because whoever, if anyone screenshotted that, that, you know, the moment, you know, you get anyone on here of any, like, of really huge importance that's, like, ripped, they're, like, really hot in the media, that's going to come out.
Uh-huh.
Yep. It'd be like, Chris, now, are you still racist?
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
There's no
right.
Good way
yeah.
to answer
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
No. Well, I've seen the light of my ways. Or, well, look, yes, what, I'm still racist.
Look what Jack Hunter did, and I'm not saying that everything that Jack Hunter did was in good taste.
Ron Paul. Still
Ron
little
Paul.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still
today.
Not Tim.
Yeah.
You know, it is part of the discussion. It's the Alinsky tactics of isolate,
demonize,
and ultimately mock. So that's why these discussions are tough to have. And I guess on one level, I don't care, because I think, you know, it's not a matter of being offended as to what was put on the wall. It's just a matter of how much abuse can one person take over the course of a period of time, you know, and appropriateness. And it just mm-hmm. you kind of go, okay, this person has a right to say this, even racists.
Yes.
I feel like there's something mentally ill about a person who is truly racist. And I can say with certainty, the people that have been on the We Are Libertarians network, the people that we have been around, the people that we have associated with, are not racists. Not even Greg.
No.
he brought pizza.
We, yeah.
Mr. Non-paying policy member.
Culture appropriations, but he's fine.
Yeah. I think for millennials, racism is not as big of an issue. There is definitely the sense of let's make jokes about something, because... Mm-hmm. Nothing is off limits, and what is even funny anymore, and what are the sacred cows that we have left? So we definitely, of course, make jokes on this podcast, you know, like we called Joe's son's middle name, like, Dorito Loco.
Yeah.
No,
Gordita Queso Grande.
Right. Joe's middle name is not Frito-Hole.
No.
But...
it's Joe... grilled stuffed Frito-Lay.
XL grilled stuffed, yeah. Please. But Joe knows that it's all in jest and that we love Joe. And it's, I don't know what you guys make fun of me for being a hipster and being fat and other things. Not as much being fat. We make fun of Greg for his backwards hat.
Yeah. And, you know, that's, it's just the cancer cap.
Right.
No. You know, it is one of those things, though. Like, there's social science on it, right? And so we're the least racist of the generations
mm-hmm.
that have been measured so mm-hmm. far. But it's only, you know, in double-blind studies, it's only a few percentage points. But the way those studies are crafted, it's designed that there is no way of arriving at a point where there isn't racism.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So... I mean, I consider that pseudoscience as well. I mean, I think, though, creating protective classes, Harry has talked about before, the first podcast we did together, someone wanted to go to Jordan's Fish and Chicken.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And then they offered that as a suggestion mm-hmm. and then backtracked like they just did some social taboo.
Yes.
So, oh, gosh, what did I just do? Yeah. I just asked him if he wanted to go to the chicken place.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, why would... Who doesn't love ribs? Okay?
Yeah. Terrorists.
Yeah. Yeah.
Al-Qaeda. ISIS.
Vegetarians yeah. and vegans.
Yeah. And they're just as bad as ISIS.
It's exactly right.
Probably even communists.
Yeah.
Exactly right. You know, and so that was the thing that stuck out with me from Harry's first appearance on the show. Are you self-censoring? Are you editing yourself? And I think this is a thing to keep in mind in life, self-censorship and editing yourself. Are you editing yourself for another person? Are you editing yourself because you think that other person can't handle an emotion, a thought, an idea? You know, there are things that you don't want to say, like, hey, Harry, would you like some of this watermelon? Harry made love watermelon.
I
Have you been known to have a watermelon slice or two?
I mean, if you're cutting up
yes,
a watermelon at the time.
I do like watermelon. I like eating watermelon. This one time I was at a Japanese restaurant. I had sat there and had sushi all day. And at the end, when they give you the check, they give you fruit.
Uh-huh.
Well, everyone around me got like pineapple and apples. Well, they brought me watermelon.
Okay.
You know, and I had fun. I ate my watermelon, and then it took the waitress for a second to realize that she just gave me watermelon. Because I'm sure they just have fruit in the fridge that they bring out, and
right.
And she just walks off and like, oh.
Now, and what Harry said is like, would you not offer me fried chicken or watermelon because you think that I would be offended by that? Well, that in and of itself is it's good intentioned racism.
But the thing is, watermelon is just not a black fruit. It's
right, yeah.
It's just a fruit. To be perfectly honest, I see more white rednecks eating watermelon than I ever see black people eat redneck.
They're always stopping at the side of the road at the stands, and they don't even like wait to get it in the car. They just like crack it on hood. And
they have
kind
of a hippie fruit, right?
Yeah. Speed spitting contest. Sure.
Yeah, at the redneck games, you can watch a lot of white people sit there and shoot.
That's
shoot
how you
the
know
watermelon
which,
seeds.
That's how you know which sister you're going to marry. Which one can spit farther? So that was what stuck out with me, and that really made me think. You know, along with Maya and everything that Maya has dealt with her transition, how do you handle people who are different than yourself? How do you deal with people from out of town?
The technically challenged,
right? So, you know, I really started to think about like the way that I treat people. Like, do I treat people differently? Do I not make jokes that like I would make just because Harry is black and it's more of a social taboo? Well, Harry's like, well, if you don't make those jokes on some level, you know, within the bounds of good taste, obviously, then you're treating me like I'm different, and that is a problem.
If the intent is to provoke Harry, then it's racist.
Right.
If you are going to say it because you are going to say it regardless of who is around, that is not racist.
Right.
Yes.
And if you filter yourself, you are racist. So it's like it's a high wire. You know, you're walking the tightrope.
Yeah. Well,
just be authentic. Yeah. Harry's one of the most authentic people you'll ever meet. Harry knows more about technology, and that's his favorite thing in this world, and he lives it, and he views the world through it. And just be your authentic self.
So that strikes hard at the Rachel Dolezal controversy. And I was having a conversation with a friend earlier about this today, and she was saying, you know, part of black culture. Now this is a tiny white girl, so you know, young white women. Nobody is better versed in black culture than white women because they listen to Hot 96.3. But If you pay attention to the music of black culture, and I am specifically saying black and not African American because Harry will yell at me if I say African American.
He does not originate from Africa.
Right.
Yeah, I do not.
Actually, we all do.
Right.
and there are black people in Europe too.
Right. So if you listen to the music of black culture, it is wrapped around being real, being authentic, being yourself, not being a fake-ass person, to put it in the parlance of black culture. Now, being real is and being not a fake-ass is very, very important. I'm just saying it over and over because it's making Harry fucking die laughing.
Oh, he's crying right now.
Like, listen, it is important not to be fake-ass, okay? So you need to be real.
If you like mayonnaise, you eat mayonnaise. You wear khakis.
Harry is so tickled right now. I've tickled a black man. This is great. I've done my good deed, G. Willikers. And like that is part of the why.
It's okay. I'm black. I like mayonnaise. I do hate khakis, though. I have khakis on because I didn't change my pants from work. These are work pants. I hate khakis.
Now, did you spell work? W-E-R-K? Work pants. Never mind.
Like twerk?
Like twerk. So, you... I think part of the problem why people have such a problem with the Rachel Dolezal is that she is just a big fat liar, a fatty liar.
Well,
I mean,
that seems like she's a bully too. There's been complaints.
Well, so like that's the big problem with Rachel is that Rachel's just a big fat liar. So Greg, our resident newsman in chief, can you please explain what is up with this woman? Give us the broad strokes. Give us the strokes on this broad.
Well, you know what? More than anything, is she's somebody who has apps. She's self-deluded. She's delusional, but she's created an alternative reality that she lives within her mind and that she experiences that does not exist in physical reality. But in her mind, she is without doubt transitioned over to a black person. She has created fake backstories about her adopted brother being her son, about a friend who's a Marine that's black. And actually, I don't know that he's not from Africa. I'm just going on assumption. So it could be either one could fit. he is her husband, right? Is that right? Yeah, husband. Mm-hmm. And that is not the case. It's just a friend. I'm sorry. That's her biological dad. That was a story she created. Now, she comes from a very troubled life. We didn't know this until today. And Chris actually discovered an article that said anytime you talk about you vilify her in the press, what you're doing is exactly what her parents did do because she comes from a very...
Yeah, I posted this on the Facebook page, but I want to actually jump into this and kind of read this because I think it's a really important point that I've not heard elsewhere. So you have to know that Rachel Dolezal is a homeschooler, and I'm sure that we have a lot of people that are involved in the homeschooling movement that listen to this podcast. We are all for homeschooling. If you can, when you can, homeschool your kids. We obviously like that, but anybody involved in the homeschooling movement know that there is a dark side to the history of homeschooling.
Just as there's a dark side to public schooling.
Right.
Which is immeasurably worse than the dark side to homeschooling.
Oh, yes.
Which is important to point out because that article didn't.
Yeah, somehow this article has been erased. So you guys talk while I figure out where is this at.
All right. Well, what the article was basically summarizing was that her older biological brother and her they're the only two that are from their parents, and then they have four adopted brothers and sisters, and the four adopted brothers and sisters, I believe two are black or three are black. One of them is the one she claims is her son, which is really her adopted brother.
Okay, I got it. All right.
Shut up now, Greg.
Shut up, Greg. I don't know what he was even saying.
I was explaining the basics of the article,
okay.
Just the facts.
Go ahead.
No, and so she comes from a family where she was raised in a completely in a cocoon. Mm-hmm. Her family, it was almost like a not as extreme version of the movie The Village, where they're raised inside a park. And so what she thought was reality was not reality until she encountered it in the outside world. And it seems like she was brainwashed to an extent and programmed by her extremely strict parents.
Yeah, so Rachel was homeschooled through, and this is from homeschoolersanonymous.wordpress.com. Posted the article on our website. Rachel was homeschooled through Christian Liberty Academy. Her father, Larry Dolezal, worked for Creation Ministries International and was charged in 1999 with felony theft, though the charges were later dismissed. We have also heard testimonies through numerous homeschool alumni who grew up knowing the Dolezal family that frequent and significant child abuse occurred in the family. This is all alleged. This is obviously hearsay. The parents allegedly forced both Rachel and her older biological brother Joshua to beat their younger adopted siblings with plumbing supply line and 2-foot-long glue sticks, a practice inspired by Michael and Debbie Pearl's book To Train Up a Child. Forced sibling-to-sibling corporal punishment is sadly not uncommon in some homeschooling circles. Such a practice conjures up troubling images of Larry and Carrie Williams, another homeschooling family that abused their adopted child, Hannah. Allegedly, additionally, Rachel's adopted brother, Isaiah Dolezal, has himself raised public allegations against his parents involving physical punishment, forced labor, and isolation in out-of-state group homes. With this background in mind, now comes the latest development in the Rachel Dolezal saga. Dolezal's older brother, Joshua, is awaiting trial on charges that he sexually abused a black child. Insinuations have been made, again, these are allegations, that the parents spoke up now to retaliate against Rachel's attempt to get her brother charged for abuse. And she has also been harboring one of the brothers, the victim in that sexual abuse, and has gone to bat to make sure that the other brother is charged with the crime, and that's why the parents are pissed, is that she broke out of the cult and that she is speaking out. Now, this...
And, you know, getting him... I mean, probably going to send her own brother to prison.
Right. That was by R.L. Stoller. Now, this is... I don't know who this is by.
R.L. Stein. It's not funny, though.
I have a complicated thing to say. The Rachel Dolezal story has everyone up in arms right now, accusing her of racism, appropriation, and flat-out fraud. I don't think I'm qualified to talk about the racial aspects of the story, but I am very concerned about this. The national media has gleefully paired itself with Rachel's parents and is now just one more tool that her parents are using against her. Rachel's an abuse victim. She cut her parents off years ago, and she has received guardianship of one of her adopted brothers. Her biological brother currently faces charges for sexual assault, and Rachel has apparently been aiding the victim of that crime, prompting her parents, after years of not having any relationship with Rachel, to retaliate by outing her. Every time we go after Rachel, we are doing exactly what her abusive parents want. Read their quotes, their tone, their word choice. It's what I've seen again and again from abusive parents, hiding behind their own self-righteousness. They want you to hate Rachel. They want you to believe that she is lying about them. They want you to hurt her. Abuse victims are complicated people. They can and do hurt others. They can and do make awful decisions. But blaming and pointing fingers at them without acknowledging the searing impact of child abuse doesn't help anyone but their abusers, who want more than anything for you to believe that everything is the victim's fault. So I think that is a really important point of view. We could sit here and we could talk about what everybody else has talked about, the human interest story, the wackiness of the story, and we might. I don't know where the conversation will take us, but I think up front we need to say that there's clearly something up with Rachel Dolezal. The behavior of this woman over the course of these many years is just very odd and very, you know, once you find out that information, a lot of pieces start to make sense about her patterns and her choices.
She really has the decision-making skills of someone who had really shitty parents.
Right. Someone who is an abuse victim of you know, various types of abuse.
And trying to forget who she was.
And
she
create a whole new identity, create new parents, and live in a totally different world. A world that presumably her parents are probably, let's be honest, not that tolerant of.
No. No, she though. I'll tell you, for somebody that has done all this, the only thing that I will say about the way she's responded is it is the most brazen, unapologetic, head-on, non-apology I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think a lot of that comes from her parents too. Like, just she's overcompensating for how terrible she was treated growing up. Like,
yeah, but I mean, for someone in a public role, so as a chapter president of the NAACP in a very in
well,
a pretty
big town.
She was only
doing that for like a year, though, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's been a lifetime of championing. Gosh, I don't even know. For long, she sued Hollywood.
That's true.
She's
yeah.
she is she
sued
she has
college.
Made up.
We see this in the libertarian community, and I've seen it in the Christian community. Those who are converts are the most on fire.
Mm-hmm.
So the person that just converted to libertarianism in the last year or two is always the person that is most on fire, more on fire than somebody like me who's been a libertarian for 8 to 10 years,
or was born into it even.
Right. You know. So somebody who is converted to blackness. She's on fire for
and
it.
She definitely chose has it. That energy.
She chose it.
She
yes.
chose it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference in the anger that a lot of individuals have had over the Federalist website. Someone had authored an essay saying that essentially using it to say that Bruce Jenner's or Caitlyn Jenner's a fraud, saying that she is more black than Bruce Jenner is a woman, and that if we're going to say that she is not black, then we must also admit that he is not, or that Caitlyn Jenner is not a female. And that really inflamed a lot of individuals. But the science of self, of sexual identification and ego, it's still early and it's young, so it's tough to say exactly. But it does appear to be an issue of science versus a term in race that is it's constructed by the social sciences and for political purposes and then for sociological purposes.
Thinking Gen Xers and the identity politics screwing everything up.
Well, here's the thing. And we kind of had this discussion and started this discussion this week. What is absolute anymore? Racial identity, sexual identity. Now listen, as libertarians and myself as a fairly liberal
death.
I'm not going to say I have always identified myself as a fairly conservative person in my lifestyle. But like Joe Houtman says, libertarians often fight for lifestyles far more interesting than their own. And I certainly identify with that.
Truer words may never have been spoken than that phrase.
I do very little in my life that is exciting or out of the bounds of social norms. But if you do, cool. I am fascinated and always support people being who they truly want to be and being their best self, as my buddy Oprah would say.
Say your buddy Oprah?
My buddy Oprah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
you're black now.
You two
are buddies.
But sexual, if you're born a man or born a woman, you're born a man or you're born a woman. If you were born black, you were born black. If you were born white, and we can choose to change those things through self-discovery and through whatever. I don't know. But it's sort of an interesting discussion within our generation. What is absolute? Where do ethics and morality derive from? And I think that's sort of where she pushes the limits. Now, of course, we've all had the kid... You know, Eminem is part of black culture, and he is whiter than I am. Don't give me that look. What do you think? You think he's not part of black culture?
I just want, honestly, I would like to hear a definition of black culture. Yeah, I think it's just more just American rap culture.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't like, personally, I hate the whole thing, like, well, this is black culture, this is white culture, this is Asian culture. No. If we're going to put... Only boundary lines we have are country lines, but if we don't want to use that, then let's just do genre lines. That's just
it's kind of lazy labeling.
Like, yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. But it's okay. But our brains are lazy. That's kind of how we're like.
They're designed to identify patterns,
right?
So let's
and most and reads like racism came from just because different races would come from a different area with different cultures. So like, okay, everyone of this culture, this area is going to be this way.
Right. So define black culture, if there is such a thing, if you believe there is.
I don't think there is.
Okay.
It's because I don't, like, a lot of people, because, like, you don't know your black history, you don't like your black culture, and I start talking to them, like, no, I know American history, and I know, like, this American culture, but I don't know what hard concrete of it is black.
Mm-hmm.
That makes no sense to me.
So functionally, it comes down to culture is whatever the individual decides it to be, and not part of a group groupthink.
Right,
is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Traditionally, it's community based.
Yeah.
Right.
And so
geographically based.
Yeah. Yeah. Location. Yeah.
And since the boundary lines called America is just so everyone's so mixed up and moved to so many different areas, it's just more of, you know, any race could be a part of that culture. Just like even rap culture, if you really look at it, it's still not like, okay, well, this is how rappers are. Well, no, not really, because you've got Midwest rappers, you've got Southern rappers, you've got
then Bubba you've got Sparks,
New York, then you've got New York, then you've got West Coast, and it just like, depends on where you are.
Where do the Beastie Boys fit in all this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at it, you know, NWA gets the credit of being the champion. And
what's
the,
that stand for?
Huh?
Yeah.
No.
What's it stand for?
I forget
for?
My acronym. Yeah. Definition's down.
I've forgotten. Why don't you say here on the podcast? No.
You were right earlier. This is the last time you're coming on the podcast.
See, like right there, that is racist because you were provoking. Yeah. You, now, if you were going to say that regardless.
I got no hate. That's where I see the racism from. It's the hate and the honest belief that like races are totally different.
The belief that races are totally different?
Like, the Webster definition of racism is like a belief that someone's qualities are derived mostly from their race. And
their race, though, being their skin color or their origin?
I guess however you want to talk about it. Like,
because really there isn't a race. It's just different colors of epidermal.
Well, that was, I read.
I mean, it's.
Yeah, yeah.
And even if you're,
like
if you're a
elf
fundamental
and dwarf
Christian.
And,
if you're a fundamental Christian, Adam and Eve, then we all come from the same place. If you believe in evolution, we all came from the same place.
Yeah.
Regardless of what your stance is, except unless you're a Scientologist and Xenu came and dumped everybody in volcanoes. And
right, which is why racism, I think, to most Christians, or no, most Christians, most millennials, makes zero sense.
Yeah, we have the same creation story, tale, origin myth, point of initiation. And so the fact that we're somehow different genetically, I mean, if it was Neanderthals, that's one argument to make because they were, you know, they were
they literally are different.
Yeah, they are different. But if we are all Homo sapiens, we all won the evolutionary lottery. Yeah. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
And so the fact that there's any.
And there's no evidence that there's any other.
No.
2015, there's some people that they did not win the evolution lottery. They. I don't know how they're walking around because we've made society too safe, but some of them, you all know them. They're driving, you know, 3,000, you know, pound vehicles, texting and eating and putting makeup on. It's like,
oh, I thought you turned British for a second. You said 3,000 pound. I was thinking differently.
Oh.
Keep going, everyone. Keep going.
That's what makes the racism debate so difficult to have is one, there's no agreement or setting of standards before the conversation takes place. Trying to, it ultimately ends up being bickering with it from two totally different perspectives, and no mutual ground is ever met except if you watch the public debates or you watch even going back to like the firing line on PBS. What ends up happening is one party gets scared because it gets too close to the line of being labeled a racist, and so they cave. And there should be, whenever this type of discussion is happening, there should be an actual definition of race defined. Everyone starts from that same point. Because if you don't, all it is chirping.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I think that's a big part of this, too, is no one's really come up with a good definition for it, really.
That's because there isn't one.
Yeah.
We're all the same race.
I think that's kind of the realization we're coming to as a people right now.
I mean, 40% of the millennial generation is multicultural. I mean, there is... It isn't even.
And what does even that mean?
There isn't going to be races
in
200, 300, 400 years.
Unless we figure out a way, like if literally the only way that's possible is if aliens came or we went to an alien planet and we found a way to interbreed.
Right.
That is the only chance of there being a different race on planet Earth.
Right.
Then there's the lizard people.
Well, Illuminati are always around.
Well,
but
the
we
notion
can't
of
interbreed with them, right?
But the notion
so that doesn't make us the same.
I would argue that the notion of racism is a false construct of society used to leverage political power and to gain more resources. So if you are a colonialist in the 1800s and you can convince your populace that the brown people in this land are inferior races and savages that need to be tamed, and then you go over and you basically are doing it to steal their resources, so then you are now a more powerful entity, a political entity in your geographical location. That is the core of racism. The core of racism is
cultural superiority.
Is cultural superiority, yes.
Just getting people to back a war, pretty much.
Right.
Since the dawn of time.
Right. And not about, because I, as an individual, want the freedom to express myself. I want the freedom to flourish as an individual. And it does not benefit me in any way to say that I don't like Peffer's beard. I will not associate with men with beards. I don't like frat bros, so I'm not going to associate with guys with backwards hats.
I guess you didn't make the cut.
Or vaguely Native American-y, ethnic-y.
Swarthy.
Swarthy, yes. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. Or Harry, who stereotypically has his hat backwards.
Read what it says.
Buck Commander, Duck Dynasty, really? and it profits me none to say to Harry, I'm not going to associate with you or trade with you just on the basis of your skin color. Because Harry has a lot of technology skills that I don't have. I mean, Harry is... In the world of the deep web and internet security, Harry is brilliant.
You should see this mouse he has on his computer. It looks like a transformer.
Right. Awesome. You know, so why would I throw away my potential gain and my potential, so you know, it just could...
Difference.
What are these dials for?
Peffers, we're in the middle of a podcast. Good Lord. You're more distracting than your brother. Stop it.
It looks so cool. I wish I could...
You didn't smoke enough weed. You need to go outside and get high again.
I'm actually doing this with a lot of glaucoma. I'm pretty...
Yeah. Here he is trying to overcome a physical impairment. You mock him for it.
Yeah. How dare you?
That's triggering me.
How dare you?
It's been a long day with all this.
Cloudy vision is not easy to overcome, especially when you drove here.
Yeah.
But that is a lot of what we discuss on this show is... The different ways that society tries to, how one group of people tries to be superior to another group of people. What I don't understand about Rachel Dolezal and the hate directed towards her is the clear appreciation that she has for a culture, even if Harry doesn't admit that there's black culture. she wants to be transracial, so let her be transracial.
Like, well, Rachel, the NAACP... I almost said NCAA. They seem to be backing her up.
Just enough black people.
The thing about that chapter is that from what Matt Lauer said,
that fit back on back of
gentlemen,
basketball jerseys.
Gentlemen, over here. So
laying down the law, the white man. Huh?
So
yeah, Master, we on the podcast.
Okay. She apparently turned this NAACP chapter around. So she was doing very well with it. She's very motivated to do a good job. And I don't understand why a group would not want that person who is doing a good job for their organization to continue. That group obviously agreed, but then the local chapter, you know, there are dissidents, apparently.
It's because they're lying, too. The truth is that anyone that did... anyone is going to go out publicly and say the reason we had to get rid of her or get her out of that position is because she lied and we could no longer trust her to operate in that role since she has ruined her credibility. The truth is they don't want somebody that isn't – it's we don't feel we're being represented. Our rights, our priorities, our strategic interests are not being represented unless it's someone that shares a cultural – background that we know. It's the entire idea of Congress. We hate Congress. Congress has an approval rating of 5%. Incumbents have a 95% re-election rate. And we know our Congress. Oh, I like, he's a nice guy. But you do it in the collective, you measure it in the collective, everybody's an incompetent buffoon moron that sucks and they're greedy and just want to get rich. And it's the same thing. When we elect someone at the local level, it's someone we've met, someone we've talked to at a town hall, somebody went to our schools. They're going to represent. They're not going to make sure that Hoosiers don't get screwed. It's the same thing with the NAACP in Spokane, which realistically, a rich white liberal is about the best representative of the NAACP in Spokane, Washington, there could possibly be.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, I mean, it's not like she was a representative in Oakland.
Yeah.
Right.
And so Compton. It's that's hypocritical to me, but the people that they
Compton. Really? Okay. Now who's
like,
racist?
Whoa.
The people that were like, there's nothing wrong with a chapter president being white. There's something wrong with a chapter president lying about being white.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I get it, but that wasn't the animosity. The animosity was she's not one of us.
Right.
She is different.
And something, I don't know, I feel real weird about how the NAACP, like, handled it. Like, almost like they knew this whole time. They were just kind of trying to keep it under wraps.
Well, she was bringing money in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, they found this girl that they liked for the job,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, oh, but she's not black, and so...
But she was bringing money in.
Yeah.
Right.
And that chapter, you like, know,
It's like she lied on her resume, but she's really good at her job still.
Right.
So
mm-hmm. Which is Bill Clinton not getting impeached for being president.
Yeah.
He lied. I mean, it's the same principle, is that you make trade-offs. Cheaters at the highest level in every single industry, field, sport, period, get a free pass once.
Yeah.
Sometimes twice, depends on how good they are.
Yeah, like Reggie Miller here in Indianapolis.
The Dawson, or the
Did Reggie Miller
hot tub
do something?
Girl.
Should I not like Reggie Miller?
Oh, you should. Watson's hot tub and outdoor.
Reggie Miller can do anything he wants in Indianapolis.
Allegedly.
Oh, yeah, allegedly. Yeah. But, I mean, that's the case,
yeah,
though.
She goes
look
up
at
the drive-thrus and is a...
Bob Knight is a polarizing figure for many non-IU individuals. Bob Knight was somebody that hit his players. Bob Knight headbutted his players. Bob Knight said terrible things. He antagonized nearly every person. He felt entitled, like none other thought he was a god. When the president of Indiana University, his boss, wanted to have a meeting, he decided to go fishing. After he had grabbed a kid, thrown him out of Assembly Hall for calling him Knight, not Coach Knight or Bob Knight. He choked Neil Reed. He headbutted Sherron Wilkerson. He kicked his own son, who was one of his players. I mean, just thing after thing, but he got free passes because he won three titles and was the general.
He got the W.
He got the W. He wins. And that's what she was doing. She was winning. She was effective at her job. She did her job in a way that brought attention in a positive way to the organization until it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's hypocritical for them to act like they are so appalled and, gosh, you know, we can't, you know, or maybe they even said, you know, the way they handled it was, we were always curious. You know, her backstory wasn't exactly... You know, it didn't all make sense
and
line up correctly.
They never looked too deep into it, though.
Yeah, but they didn't want to. Why would you? It's like John Calipari at Kentucky in recruiting.
Yeah, definitely.
Don't worry that his mom just got a new Lexus. The kid committed, and we're going to win the title.
Exactly.
It's the exact same principle, and it happens everywhere in society. Winners get a blind eye turned for so long until it becomes so blatant. So, and her success led to her failure, because by being successful... Spotlight got on her.
Pissed
and the spotlight
off her
got on her. Yep, and she made her parents mad. And when she had something to lose in the media, her parents came after her.
Well, the thing is, she should have read The Art of War. You know, she wasn't ready to defend. As soon as she started getting a little money, she should have did everything in her power to bury them.
Eliminate any opposition. No, but that's a terrible way to have to think about living a life. Is the art of war being applied to your parents is not necessarily a great
you should apply the art of war to everything. I applied the art of war to my parents.
You apply it to your common law marriage?
Yes. What?
When are you going to eliminate Lacey? She's becoming a threat to you, Harry.
Uh-oh.
She's not a threat.
I'm just kidding.
I keep giving her a way out. That's all.
Yeah. Well, what where does she go from here? Her non-apology was so brazen that
she writes a book.
Biracial porn?
Gets a reality TV show? There's a few options.
But that's not a career. Like, that's a few years of the 15 minutes of fame, and you hope you can capitalize on it before you're forgotten.
Right.
I mean,
collect interest from the money you saved up from it.
They never save money. She won't save money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's her problem.
I mean, if there's anyone that's ever turned their life around after such a scandal, it's Monica Lewinsky and, like, her bullying organization.
I don't know.
Her anti-bullying campaign. That's all she
it's
does.
It's huge.
Yeah. Okay.
This feels more like curiosity, a freak show, than it does a scandal, though. Because she's not betrayed the trust. Like, I don't feel like it's a scandal like
Clinton.
She didn't
steal a bunch of money.
She didn't betray my trust. I don't care.
She did steal a bunch of money because I guarantee you donations are going to go down now that this scandal's been on the organization.
Well, she didn't, like, embezzle a bunch of money.
If any different than if she had stolen money than the money they're not going to receive now. Arguably not receiving it on a grand scale is going to be way worse than if she had pocketed
100K. Well, then that's her parents that had stolen that money then, because they blew the whole story.
They never told her to pretend to be black.
That's true, but she probably wouldn't have gotten that job if she didn't pretend.
Blame can be attributed in various ways in this, but...
Who are these people that's going to pull their money out just because of this? If they don't believe in the cause...
Yeah, that...
It's crappy on them. They weren't
right, and she was effective.
And Sorry.
What is the name of the organization?
What is an NAACP really going to do? They're just a big scholarship fund, personally.
How did she get that tan? Because she was such a freckly. She like went to the tanning spray tan and was like, turn it up to 11, give me two coats.
But she might have taken those
turn
pills.
Up to two past John Boehner.
That's the thing is, John Boehner was darker than she is.
Yeah.
John
Boehner
pills, right?
is darker pills, right? than her.
Legit, yeah.
I mean, but that John Boehner's darker than Halle Berry. John Boehner is darker right. than a lot. Matt. I mean, that's the hilariousness of the race conversation.
Can you explain light skin, black skin a little bit for people? I mean, I have heard. All right, this is white people asking black people question time.
Ask a black dude.
I have heard that it is that if you are a that light skinned versus black, like dark skinned people. Have like some sort of rivalry, sort of like West Side, East Side, you know, Bloods and Crips.
He's trying to bring it to.
I'm trying to explain
you
it.
Understand.
Yeah, I'm trying to explain it to the people.
It's like the battle of Bitcoin versus altcoin.
Well, the first thing, like, all minorities try to be white passable. So, you know, the whiter you are, the better you are. This is why, like, you see a lot of people who are of Hispanic orientation that get mixed with a lot of white people.
Yeah,
go as white.
Orient isn't Hispanic.
try to go as white as possible.
And Guatemalans like Joe hate Mexicans like Aria Torres, and they both hate Puerto Ricans. And so like it's a whole Argentinians.
Don't even get
think
started on Marco Rubio, yeah.
Right?
And but, white people hate Jewish people. And
what?
No,
yeah,
not this podcast. We love you guys.
you guys.
Go ahead, Harry.
Is there one in here?
Once again, I'm going to say, like, I don't even know what you're talking
awards.
About. The whole, like, rivalry right. between, like, light skin, dark skin. I have a lot of light skin black friends. I have really dark, you know, that Don Cheadle, dark black people on my friends list. I even have someone who's black on my friends list who has albinism, you know, she you know gets more of like having to tell people that she's black, you know, has more of a struggle than anyone else who's
now these black friends that you have.
Yes,
do they have any openings for new friends? I would like to be more friends with black people.
He's just gonna come out and say that.
I'd like to be part of the culture.
Please, any black people listening,
I have switched teams, and I need to get in. I need to get in on it.
The learning curve is steep, and it can only be done with total immersion.
I don't know. I'm tired of talking about it, honestly. I don't know about you guys.
I'll be interested to see how it ends up.
I'm tired of talking. I don't mean her. I'm talking about race stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and I know that that's a very white guy thing to say, but...
that doesn't make it wrong.
Yeah, it doesn't make it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, like, you're only hesitant because, you know, I think everyone here besides me is also worried probably being called racist.
Oh, sure. No, not at all.
I don't have to worry about that whatsoever. And I can actually say legit racist stuff and get away with it. No one will question me on it. No one will say anything for me. I actually get passes from other against liberals, and then we'll talk down like, well, if you say it, then it's okay. But if, you know, some white libertarians say that, then it's just wrong.
Yeah, it is okay and acceptable to make white people jokes. Like it, if you watch any Comedy Central show, like white people jokes, that's like 80% of it now.
It's sitcoms. Tim Taylor, the dad, the idiot white dad who goes to work all day, comes home, and can do nothing right.
Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know. It's or the neurotic
Jerry
Seinfeld.
That's a topical reference.
Yeah.
Tim Taylor and Jerry Seinfeld. Okay.
I don't know. I guess I'm just tired of having a discussion because it's like, I mean, we all grew up going to elementary school being told that we're all equal, that we all have the same playing field, that we all should treat each other with respect, that we shouldn't judge each other on these certain characteristics, that you shouldn't bully people. And like you go through school and you buy into that and you believe it, and then you get out into the real world and now we're 30 years old and it's like, oh, I have to join a group now. Okay, this is not what you told me. I have to apologize for things that I don't believe and did not do. I don't it just pisses me off.
Yeah,
it
that,
just
that
gets
pursuit
so
of social acceptance,
right?
You know, by apologizing,
right?
And that's because, but to me, racism no longer means anything. Oh, you're a racist. Like, okay,
right,
great. I want to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
To be clear, yeah, there are actual racists. Like, we're not denying there are people who hate.
Well,
other
look
races.
At the kids.
Absolutely, yeah. But they have saturated that. It's so oversaturated and overused and thrown at everything.
Definitely.
That this guy that went and shot up at a church, calling him a racist isn't nearly bad enough because you've thrown it around
just
for the last
because,
50
yeah.
years.
Yeah, that's true.
And he is a sick psycho that deserves. Everything that comes to him in prison.
Racist is someone who makes jokes.
Here's how it shifted. You know, so we have gone from racism being instituted. There's a book on the table by Howard John Griffin. John Howard Griffin.
You're reading
that was a microaggression to me.
And it's called Black Like Me. And in the late 50s, in 1960, he took a drug that...
they were just melanin pills, right?
It was like
they?
Vitiligo treatments,
yeah.
And he basically over the course of time made himself a black person, and lived as a black person for a year in the South in 1961, and he was so convincingly different that there he was from New Orleans, and he went to this guy who shined his shoes, and the guy had no clue, recognized the shoes. Did not know that he was a different person, and in this book he recounts the way that he is treated, the way that he is just it's vastly different. And this is a time in the South where racial segregation, where racism is institutionalized, it is an accepted form of social practice, and we are now in a situation where a man goes into a church and commits such an atrocity. It's not institutionalized in an acceptable way in South Carolina like it was in 1960. This person, we now don't consider him a racist. We now consider him a person who's mentally deranged. Racism, true racism, is almost a form of mental derangement, which, good, because it you have to be literally fucking crazy to think that Harry is less of a person than Chris Peffers. Because I can tell you, Harry is twice the man that Chris Peffers is.
Yeah, he probably is.
Girth, length.
Oh, he's got it.
Oh!
See, why do you got to wave that in our face?
You've been spying on me in the bathroom, Harry? Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in the Libertarian Communal showers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all got to hit the showers after this.
So the... The young nut job with the bowl haircut that went in and committed the worst, basically
sandy red hair,
racially
since
motivated 1950s. Racially motivated crime since the Birmingham church
fire.
Bombings,
yeah.
Where four children died and nine died in this attack. But you know what? I look at this and maybe we can talk about hate crimes a little bit. I don't distinguish, like, to me, Virginia Tech. Jonesboro, Arkansas, Columbine, this kid.
The Batman, James Holmes.
Yeah, like these are all young white men who are disillusioned, and they grab onto one thing or another, and that fuels their fire. Now, he's in Charleston, and obviously they've had the cop killing the black man, shot him in the back. We talked about it a few episodes ago, and... that apparently fed into whatever psychosis that he had, but this is a mentally deranged, mentally ill person. This is white people don't need to apologize for what this guy did to the black race, just as much as we don't need Harry to apologize for when a black person kills a white person. I mean, it just, you know, that groupthink is what is killing our society, and it is so overblown.
The collective measurement of everything is so stupid.
Right.
The, you can't attribute, based on the color of the epidermis, that is someone, a group's fault. It's ridiculous. Right. It's preposterous. This guy, what happened to him is what is happening to so many today, is social isolation, living in an information silo where you aren't exposed to alternative views, information, thoughts, personalities, different. I just being exposed to the big world out there. It's a self-selection bias where you become to view the world in an extremely siloed way. You never touch anything outside of what is you like, and what ends up happening is you harden. You go further and further down the rabbit well. You associate with people who are kind of believing like you. And you see it in libertarianism. You see it in Republicans. You see it in Democrats. It's just that hopefully the logical conclusion of the organizations that we're associated with don't lead to something like this. This guy was drawn to something for whatever reason, white supremacy, where, you know what, more than anything, it was probably that he was desperately looking for an identifier. And he found it in the community. And then the more he pushed the envelope, the more recognition he got. I'd bet you anything.
Yeah. Or it could be something as as simple as, you know, set some ideas, called a racist, you know, like, what? How am I racist? And then someone just kind of got his ear. Oh, yeah, they called you racist. You're going to be racist either way.
And a tough time came and mentored him and accepted him when others were socially isolating him.
They already labeled you a racist.
Yeah. And are you going to let him get away with that? Yeah. Here, come to this party.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And here, so, be with your fellow racist.
And when you seclude yourself and silo yourself off, there is no... It takes such a disciplined mentally, intellectually and mentally, an individual to forcibly expose themselves to alternative views, or to, you know, what's that that line that enlightenment's the ability, or the, no, David Foster Wallace, the liberal arts education is the ability to entertain an idea without accepting it. Mm-hmm. That is what everyone needs. Or that's the ideal we should all be reaching for. You know, you need to be able to understand this individual, Dylan Roof.
Something like
you that. Have to understand his viewpoint, because if you don't, there's no preventing it in the future. So, right. You know, reading what he read, learning about him, and then going and learning the perspective of, you know, and I'm probably guilty of this too, learning the perspective of the social justice warrior crowd, of the people within the NAACP that I disagree with on affirmative action and white hetero cis shit overlord, or, you know, like,
what? But you say we need to understand him to prevent him in the future. We need to condition people to the idea that you're not guaranteed to arrive home at the end of your day safe. You may be murdered by another person. There are mentally ill people. Accidents will happen. There is no guarantee of safety. There are no laws that we can pass. There are no more, you know, measures that we can pass that will guarantee crime is at historically low levels in man's history.
And mass shootings are radically down since 1990.
Yep.
In both recent American, recent world history, and in the history of man, you've never been safer in your entire life. Ever. Women have never been safer. And yet you would think that we have an epidemic of rape going on. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't more headway to be made, that we accept certain things, but we have a tendency to take something like this incident and make it, oh, well, society is just done for.
Sensationalize it to the point it's not a problem. Like, it's a problem. It always is a problem. We're marching towards where we hope to get it to where these things don't happen, but to ignore all the progress we've made, like the president did in his press conference and walked up there and said, unfortunately, I've had to make too many of these announcements during my time in office today. I thought, you know what? You don't have more high ground.
No.
When you go around dropping bombs from the sky on totally innocent civilians all throughout the Middle East, when you create the situations that you are leaving for the next person and for us for the next 50 years, when you drone an American citizen without due process, I don't even want to hear your thoughts.
Right.
I wish you would just stay in the Oval Office and get better at what you do.
Yeah. You have to say something, because the press will say, well, why didn't he say something? But nobody cares what a politician has to say. The presidential candidates all came out, and, you know, everybody was praying for them, except for Bernie Sanders, who said that, you know, we need to fight racism. Bernie Sanders, we need to do a whole show on that nut. But it is, I just don't care what a politician has to say. Shut up.
I did like Rand Paul came out and said that there's no way government could have fixed this.
Right.
All right. Yes. Thank God he didn't cave and say, we need to look at tougher background restrictions.
He did attribute it to, like, a loss of Christianity in the populace, though.
Oh, yeah, and I think that's the morality of society, and that's something we were talking about earlier this week, yesterday, in fact. You know, that's a different probably a different conversation to have, but not it's a government flaw and we can do better with more money.
Right. Yeah.
And more security.
And that's part of it. We have made the state the religion. And so we have ceded all of our moral authority to the government. And so now we look to the president to be our spiritual advisor in times of trouble.
Our Jeremiah Wright, if you will.
Right. And I'm sorry, but there is no great moral authority in Richard Nixon or Bill Clinton or...
any of them, really.
Or Barack Obama.
They've all kind of been.
I mean, Harry Truman dropped atomic bombs on Japanese people.
Right. Yeah.
Granted, it was arguably the least casualties you could make that decision of total human loss in that point. You know, other than invading Japan.
Well, it was their casualties instead of our casualties.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying total human life loss on the whole. That.
Second one really need to be dropped?
Right. No.
And they were so crippled when they dropped the first one.
But he struggled with the decision.
Just spent so much money and so much R&D trying to get these freaking bombs to even work. They just wanted to use it. And even when they got the stupid bombs in the air, they wasn't sure it was going to work. A lot of the scientists said, well, this thing's going to hit the ground. It could be a big fat dud.
You're going to have a 2,000-pound potentially ticking time bomb sitting, you know, next to a park bench.
Right, yeah. It'll just drop out of the sky and go gunk.
Until one point it goes off.
It fizzles out. Right. It may not even do that.
But yeah, that's the. How do you respond to this? The way you respond to it, you say, you look, if I'm the president, and I look back and I say, look at the progress we've made just in my tenure. Look at the progress we've made in 20 years. America, you know, if he really cares about healing these things, a transracial, a post-racial society, the achievement of multiculturalism universally in the United States, you don't do it by playing identity politics using it to championing his cause of gun control.
Right. Yeah.
And that's ultimately, there's no, even though he didn't come out and say it, that is the implied reason for him coming out and making the announcement in the manner he did.
But that's where their voter stock comes from. And it also, like, it's totally abject of the history of black history, of Southern Church, which what stopped the church firebombs and the attacks on black churches was that black people had guns. They went out and got guns. You know,
they armed themselves to protect self-preservation.
Yeah.
The church, that's the historic element of this church. Is that this church was the first time there was going to be an organized slave rebellion, 1822, and the government was on top of it. And I don't believe that it ever got to that point and there was ever an altercation. But this church is the embodiment of we are the ones we've been waiting for.
Right.
You know, 100 years or 200 years from where we are today, they had that same sentiment. And that's... what's such a shame, and the way he was so cold and calculating about it and going in there and sitting in Bible study for an hour and then firing up, is that is premeditated, sick individual. And he did it in a way that he was seeking to be it's the celebrity pursuit.
Yeah, I think he was expecting a lot of high fives.
Yep, between his bros on their, you know, on their chat, their
which is why I hate that they're even putting his picture up. Yeah. I hate that they're even mentioning his name, and I would love for the media to get to a place where your network, you mention it one time in an article, and then you never mention it again. Your newspaper, you print it in the first article, and then from then on, you say the shooter. You know,
enormous douchebag.
Right. There is a movement, to really get that done in journalism circles and make that standard operating procedure, because they recognize that part of the problem is that it's the cause, you know, it's the cause of liberté. I mean, it's that this person is premeditating that he will be, you know, it's like this James Holmes kid. You see his photo all the time on Yahoo News on the front page.
Mm-hmm. Because it gets clicks.
Yeah.
And then because they have clicks, they can get new advertising contracts.
Yep. Yeah.
Which is the tough part about that.
Yep. Harry.
The other thing with it is that you also see a lot of people in the quote unquote black community, or just the people in the different communities, started looking at look how they brought this guy into custody. He didn't get shot up. It wasn't a massive shootout. He actually got placed into custody. He didn't get shot. He didn't die. But then they put up all these other black people who have been shot by the police this year. Some of them should have been shot in the back.
Yeah.
It's that, you know, so it's...
Well, the
race pimps are out on this one, and it's kind of hard to want to stop them because this one's legit racism this time.
Of course, yeah. But what you can't have is the Melissa Harris Perrys of the world saying all white people need to apologize.
Yeah.
Because I have nothing to apologize.
And Salon came out today and said, you do.
Right.
He said that white people need to explain this.
Right. which was a rhetorical device to get people to think about...
with Muslims, with like the Texas shooting.
So are they saying they honestly believe Muslims should explain terrorist acts too?
No, is that when
look
when,
at our media narratives? Though.
Let's
yeah.
look
that
at
is
this.
What goes on? Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the actions of this kid versus the actions of the Tsarnaev brothers. The Tsarnaev brothers killed.
Is that Boston
two?
Bombing?
Mm-hmm.
The Boston Marathon bombings. Two kids.
Yeah. We just called
two
them
people?
The bomber.
Yeah.
Bombers.
Yeah, and thank you. And maimed a lot of other people, but they are part of this systematic terrorist plot to take over the United States. They need to be charged with the max. Muslims, good Muslims, need to start explaining why bad Muslims like this are being converted. Good Muslims are not doing enough to stop bad Muslims.
Get control of your race.
Get control of your race. Get control of the people that live 5,000 miles over away, when really the answer is that Barack Obama should stop dropping bombs on people.
They may not want retaliation in quite an extreme way if you don't drop, you know, candy and then bombs
right
next to each other in the same container.
Just happened to be on the same plane.
Yeah,
it was a fake newspaper article I saw that was like, "Why do they hate us?" Study shows it's because we bomb them.
100%
of the world would not like to be bombed.
Right. And so we don't expect white people. It's absurd for white people to explain why this kid, you know, he is a lone gunman killing 9 people, but then it is part of a Muslim terrorist plot to take over the United States when 2 lone wolves. Adhere to
Chechnyans.
Ideology. Yeah, Chechnyans, not even Arabs.
And then Putin got no blame.
Right.
Came out smelling like a rose.
Mm-hmm. And killed 2 people. So not that there should be a moral equivalent in the body count, but it is kind of a
way to compare the crimes.
But it is, they're both terrorist acts.
Right.
Why is this a terrorist act? That's something I haven't understood.
Because, well, the idea behind it was to cause terror, wasn't it, ultimately?
No, he only let one person out. He killed everyone else except one because he wanted to spread the tale.
He wanted her to run around and cause the terror.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't kill
them.
Was
that his intent? He wanted the neighborhood to be on the lookout for him to come around and just march and shoot people?
Well, he wanted them to be on the lookout. He wanted them to be afraid of white people, I think. He wanted black people to be more afraid of white people.
To get the message that you need to stop raping and killing our women.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't do this to, like, get their money. Right. He didn't do this.
But isn't terrorism to create an environment, like a chaotic madness, mass hysteria.
The way I always saw it, terrorism is like using violence when you can't think of a good argument, and that's kind of what he's doing
here. Well, there's the short-term panic, but then there's also the long-term strategic message of terrorism, and that's what he effectively achieved.
Yeah, I think he's overestimating how long we're going to be talking about this as a country. Like, I think
so. Intent was terrorist. A terrorist act, even though it may not result in such a thing.
The key, like the look, what you're gonna we'll find out will be this Sunday at every like black church. You know, hey, this random white guy just walked in here.
Yeah, I mean that happens sometimes anyway, right?
Sit here with us.
It's all over black. I follow nothing but black Instagrams on Instagram, and it's always my favorite memes. It's the white kid. Why are you friends with a white kid? And then it's a text message, and it says, "Don't go to school tomorrow." Thanks, fam. when you online watching the white kid get cyber bullied. And then he tweet out, "You'll all be sorry tomorrow." And that's how like, it's just always, it always makes me laugh. Because like black Instagram's view of white kids is that they're all school shooters, they're all insane, and they're all
they
gonna
that
kill
school shooter fade.
Like when you at your white friend's house and he start killing his parents.
Yeah, that was this week. That was, and he's just looking at him.
And he's just looking over. It's like, oh god. I don't even, it is, if you look on Instagram, if you want to follow some of these accounts, it's sort of like a group. It's like a little network called the Meme Tang Clan. And so you kind of look the Meme Tang Clan hashtag up and you can find it. It makes me laugh.
That's all one word?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, it's a hashtag.
Okay.
Come on now. It might
hashtags
be a username.
Can't use hyphens or?
No hyphens. Uh-uh. And no, I don't believe underscores.
Nope.
I don't like so.
Okay, let's wrap this up.
Hashtag no spaces, hashtag.
All right, let's wrap this up. Floor is... you're going to make Harry go last?
No, he's
really,
going first.
Oh, okay, we'll put Harry...
Oh, so I got to go first?
Yeah.
Oh.
All right.
What? Oh.
It's your time to wrap up.
Would you
up.
Rather go
would
to
you?
The back of the podcast?
Well, I was hoping to go last. I was like, actually, I'm going to end it with, I'm going to say my piece with some happy news. Next week, I'll be going to Porkfest, the 12th edition of Porkfest next week. That's
nice.
Porcupine Freedom Festival in Lancaster, New Hampshire. It's put on by the Free State Project.
Shouldn't get treaded on there.
No. I won't be treaded on. I will be tons of different great pieces of bacon and food different there.
I feel like this is antagonistic towards Muslims in New Hampshire.
No, there are there's Muslims there at Porkfest. A Muslim redneck activist there. Or
it's pork with a C.
Yeah, pork with a C.
Oh yeah, pork with pine.
Pork as in porcupine. Yeah.
Clearly, well, that's their cover story.
There's a lot of bacon there.
Yeah, there's a lot of bacon in the hog roast.
Yeah, porcupine. Yeah. Yeah.
But there are Muslims there at Porkfest. There's all kinds of different people of different religions at Porkfest.
Well, there we go. Yeah. Freedom lovers.
Oh yes. It's almost sold out this year. I think I think almost all.
It gets bigger every year.
Yeah, I think someone said it's pushing 2,000 people there, which is nuts. It'll be my second year going. I'm excited to see all the different people there at Porkfest. It should be fun. Zach said I want to end it on something happy and. Because sometimes when I come on here, it's very sad when I leave.
Well, that's what we do here. That's why everybody loves it. Libertarians love sad porn.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know, man. I don't know. They do, though. They love to be depressed. Look at LouRockwell.com. You want to blow your fucking head off.
Oh, my gosh.
It's called being a masochist, right?
Right.
Every one of us.
Chris Peffers, what do you got?
I don't know. I've been pushing Silicon Valley, the show that everyone needs to be watching. The last few times I was here, just wrapped up its season. It was excellent. So
okay,
yeah,
I need to finish it.
Yeah, you definitely do.
I do.
The finale was great. One of my favorite episodes. Better than Game of Thrones this season.
Ooh, Silicon Valley. Oh, sorry.
No, it's Silicon Valley. It's about the app market, not the plastic surgery.
Gregory.
I was told to just briefly outline Rand Paul's tax plan by Ryan Connor. And there's, you know, you never want to disappoint a Wisconsin cheesehead.
Yeah. Go Pack, go.
Rand Paul has announced his tax plan that he is going to be running on. And it's really aggressive. It is a flat tax of 14.5% for businesses, income, and then social, I believe, or what was the other? It's businesses, private individuals, and sorry, the last one off the top of my head. Blah, 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 blah. Capital gains. And so it would be those three. It'd work. There's only two deductions. It'd eliminate all the special interest deductions for businesses. Tax deduction, like Facebook being able to pay only 0.2% through what's called the Irish double loop or the Dutch loop, where Microsoft and all the major tech companies only pay less than 1% of their corporate profits in taxation.
I think those are jump roping techniques.
Exactly. That's what it's designed to. You buy a Cayman corporation, you put it in Ireland, and then you move it back to a Dutch colony or former colony, and that's the way they're able to do it. But this eliminates all that, so it gets rid of corporate subsidies by tax credits. And the only thing that exists in credit form is the mortgage interest deduction, which that's around, going to be around forever, charitable giving deduction, and then the earned income tax credit. He's getting hammered a little bit because the Congressional Budget Office scored it and said it would, what was it, $2 trillion over the next 10 years? But that's based on their projections. They have no, you know, you never know. And so it would be roughly $200 billion a year, which is actually the same figure, though, that private businesses spend in the Fortune 500 on accounting alone and tax planning.
Right.
So if you think about it, you eliminate a bunch of white-collar jobs because now they just say, yep, 14.5% of what we had this year. And it get the economy moving because it allow everybody to deduct their capital expenses in the first year, and it replaced the depreciation schedule. So all the accounting gimmicks and tricks and all that stuff go away, and essentially it's one standard applied equally to everybody. Individuals, a family of four up to $50,000 a year in income is exempt. So if you make $50,000 and you have two kids and a wife, you do not pay the 14, you don't pay tax, a federal tax rate.
Right. That's what I was wondering about. It still has an income tax component. So that's really what I don't like. Like the blanket income tax on people.
That would be the sales. I know what you're talking about, the national, the fair tax plan.
Well, I don't like the idea of income tax. I mean, we can discuss what other things we can tax, but income tax is just a tax on production.
If you tax goods, you're purposely saying quit buying less stuff. So
I mean, there's no good tax anyway. Buy less stuff. Like that's a tax on sales tax is a tax on consumption, mm-hmm. which is what you want to discourage, but you want to encourage production.
Why do you hate jobs and employment?
Because.
My roads.
Yeah. Black roads.
No, but sorry.
You're
but
right, I do like roads. There's nothing I can say to that.
The idea behind it is that it will eliminate just so much non-productive spending in the American economy based on, or unproductive spending in the economy based on trickery and following laws and following accounting
just
gimmicks.
Just simplifying the tax code like that.
Taking that money, putting it into R&D, putting it into growth, putting it into, even if you distribute it as a dividend to individuals that are stockholders, you're going to get it back into the economy rather than that works. The accounting laws you have to follow in the United States are a tax. It is a tax that you mandatorily have to spend that makes your stockholders mad. And the government loves it because if we offer enough tax credits, we can control your corporation and how you invest and who you sell to. And that's why it'd be really tough to pass, because it would eliminate almost all of the GOP and Democrats' leverage in the House for, well, if you give me a donation, I'll make sure that you only pay a 2% tax rate.
Right.
And stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the point, is it's equally applicable to everybody. It eliminates the payroll tax for businesses, tariffs. I mean, it simplifies everything. He throws out all 70,000 pages of the existing federal tax code.
Nice. Oh, boy.
Yeah, so that's the extent of it.
All right, well, you know, I really don't have much other than to play a little Trap Queen. Let's see, let's go back.
You're acting like we can hear this.
Yep, Chris loves his traps.
You guys can't hear it. I don't care. This is for the listeners, man.
The audience is hearing this, but we have no idea what's being played, really. Chris just sitting there with his headphones.
I'm bouncing my head.
Jamming.
He does have, you know, he's got some good rhythm.
Well, I have great rhythm. Dear Leader has rhythm.
The Bavarians were known for their dancing.
Ladies. Jiggle generous, thorough, and full of rhythm.
Jiggle to the left.
All right, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. As always, we promise
to do better next time.
Music for We Are Libertarians is provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. Please check out his website, briankeithwallen.com. The song is Bad Spell.